this week's Vents Day segment. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This is your chance to let us know what you're thinking about armed campus police and voter ID laws. Phone number here at the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760. Yes, it works during the fun drive. All six lines work. We've done a little division in our phone system. So 800-838-3760 will work for everybody, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start on the voter ID issue, because that process has already started, voting, that is, in Oregon. And since all voting in Oregon is done by mail, nobody has to show ID to get a ballot, just to register the first time. California is not all vote by mail, but just a social security number will suffice for ID at the polling places. But a majority of states have either passed or considered passing voter ID laws that require photo ID and sometimes a second form of identification to get a ballot at a polling place on election day. This one splits on party lines. What doesn't? Republicans say that voter ID laws are to ensure the integrity of votes. Democrats point out there's almost no voter fraud and the ID requirements scare people away, usually minority and therefore Democratic voters. So here we go. Do you see voter ID laws as a valid way to ensure voter integrity, or just a thinly veiled attempt to make it harder for people to vote? Don't forget the additional laws to curtail early voting. Early voting was originally designed to make it easier for working people to get to the polls on days other than election day. And some of these same voter ID laws have been accompanied by laws that have further curtailed early voting. Your thoughts, more than welcome on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Topic number two on this Vents Day, arming campus police. This is not a new idea. Last time we talked about this, the University of Oregon was in the process of putting guns on the hips of its police department. The issue comes to the fore again because now Portland State University is also working on a plan to arm its police. And as we looked across the country, we found this a common issue. So here's your chance to vent on this issue. What would be some of the circumstances in which you would think a campus police force needs firearms? What restrictions or proscriptions and guidelines would you like to see on the use of those weapons? Or do you have a problem with campus cops packing heat in the first place? Let's get your thoughts on this Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. The Vents Day phone number, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Or you can email us through jx@jeffnet.org. And as we go to the break, while we await your calls for Vents Day, let's remind you this is day two of Fall Fund Drive. We are also taking your calls and pledges of support here to maintain the programs that you come to know and expect from Jefferson Public Radio here on the News and Information Service and on all the services of JPR. That's a different phone number from our phone lines, 888-552-6191, 888-552-6191, or pledge online at ijpr.org. We'll take a short break and come back and take your Vents Day comments about voter ID laws and arming campus police when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. It's 8:36. This is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. You can find the program not just on the radio, but also online at jeffexchange.org. Check out our Facebook page, see the pictures of our guests. And, of course, you can take part in the program as it happens, particularly in this, our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a pair of topics in the news. This week, the topics are voter ID and arming campus police. Our phone number, 800-838-3760. That works for anybody, anywhere in our listening area. 800-838-3760. Or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with Jean in Wilderville. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. One thing about the voter ID, It would prevent cemetery votes. It would make sure that you are a legitimate resident and have the right to vote.
Cemetery votes, you mean by dead people voting, as happened in Chicago in decades past?
I don't think the dead people should be told how they're going to vote because it might be against what they'd want.
All right. But how much incident has there been of this, Gene? This has been one of the major complaints all along, is that it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
I wouldn't say that. Florida was wiping out the dead registered voters. Obama went on a tantrum. And then another state joined in and started wiping their deceased residents off, and he shut up. So I would say that it is still being used, especially by the illegals.
Well, here again, though, examinations of actual in-person voter fraud appear to give maybe like one or two per state per election.
But at the same point in time, a lot of states now, like, I broke my wrist, which means my signature is not going to match the signature on my card. They're going to throw my ballot out. Well, if they have a deceased person's vote, that one will go through. And so my vote don't count, but a dead person does.
In the
circuit, personally, I don't want someone telling me how I'm going to vote when I'm dead. And as for arming the college police, if they take an actual safety course so that they don't shoot before they know what they're shooting at, I think it would be a good idea with all the insane idiots in the world.
All right,
that
so
go on shooting sprees.
All right, so yes to campus police and yes to voter ID. Gene, thank you for calling today. Let's go to Ruth in Mendocino. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Voter ID and arming campus police are topics.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me on the program.
Sure.
If I may, I would just like to address an issue that your previous caller addressed. And she mentioned if having broken her wrist, I believe she said, and therefore her signature would be different.
Right.
We used to live in Southern Oregon, and my husband at that time had contracted Parkinson's disease, and his signature definitely changed. When he voted by mail, which we always did once it started, then the clerk returned the ballot, and so what you just have to do, you have to like re-register. They have to get a new signature from you, and you're able to vote again and sign a new ballot and send it in. They don't just dump it. They will try to contact you and have you sign a new ballot. So you know that they're being careful because they're checking those signatures, which is what they're supposed to do.
Right. I heard that, too, that the procedure is to make sure that if the signature doesn't match, you contact the voter and say, what's up here?
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right.
On the Oregon side.
Sometimes as we age, our signature, does change. And so it's important to have that updated. And if you forget about updating it to the election and then you sign your ballot and they say, wait a minute, it's kind of different, they'll contact you.
Okay, good to know. And on the California side, there's some issue that maybe that doesn't happen with the absentee votes. We'll get to that later if there's time. But
okay, I don't know about that. This issue is kind of interesting to me because I was just having this discussion with a relative. And when I was in Southern Oregon, I was active in the League of Women Voters, which is very much opposed to these voter ID laws. I would read to you what's on. I just finished filling out my California ballot last night, and I sealed it. So I can't read the exact wording to you. But when you sign your ballot in California, and I'm doing it by mail, what you're saying there is you're essentially swearing by your signature that you are a citizen, that you are over the age of 18, and you are able to vote. Now, in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty. I've already sworn by my signature that information is correct. Now, if somebody wants to challenge that, then they can do that, but they need to challenge it individually. You don't make a law punishing everyone because perhaps one person is faking it. The idea of dead people voting, that I think that President Carter talked about that when he first ran for the school board in Georgia. That was many years ago. Mm-hmm. And under the Help America Vote Act after Florida, that pretty much it doesn't happen anymore because states are required to go through their voting, their rolls.
Right, to do the occasional purges to make sure
that they are accurate. One of the things that my relative said was, well, I have to show an ID to get on an airplane or, you know, when you go in the bank. You don't have a right to fly. You pay for that. You don't have a right to open an account at a bank. The bank has the obligation to set certain criteria. You have a right to vote. And we should be very careful about saying we're willing to infringe on that right. We're willing to limit that. Lots of people have died so that we would have that right. And I think we need to be very careful about maintaining it.
All right. Ruth, thanks so much for your thoughts. Very good to talk to you. This is Bob now in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Our topics, voter ID laws and arming campus police.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Of all the places where we don't need guns, it's the college campus. Colleges have really bright people there. It seems as though they wouldn't have to use this primitive method of solving problems. Some of the brilliance could be used to solve problems without guns.
Well, but then you run into the situation where, for example, the University of Rhode Island is arming its campus police because it had a situation where there was a report of a gun in a building, and it took the local police too long to get there. Campus police couldn't go in because they're not armed.
This is a primitive way to solve it. There must be another way. Are people trying to figure out ways, these brilliant people on campus, and I'm not kidding, there are a lot of smart people at the University of Oregon where I am, they can't figure out a way to solve that kind of a problem short of firing away. It's the same thing as in the forest. In the forest where it's peaceful and animals are, you're using this primitive form of just blowing them away. It seems like we don't spend enough time trying to figure out alternatives when we have simple ones, but ones which are contradictory to a lot of the ways people think. I don't like the idea of people firing away to solve their problems.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Bob. Appreciate it. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, voter ID, and arming campus police, our topics.
Well, I'm still a firm believer in the right to keep and arm bears. I think giving the campus police tasers is reasonable, deadly force. I don't know. I'm afraid that I don't have the same vision as your previous caller. I can see situations where that could, in fact, occur. However, having more people wearing more guns in a situation generally makes the situation worse rather than better. That's the only observation I'll make on that. You could pull up a dozen different scenarios where it would make sense for them to have guns and a dozen different scenarios where it would make sense for them not to. But I think tasers make really good sense. Voter ID. We're so lucky here in Oregon to live in a community where, as a state, we're operating the way we should in terms of civics. Yeah, there's always going to be speed bumps, and there's always going to be some problem somewhere. The issue with presenting some kind of ID, whether it's the signature card or a driver's license or whatever, with the register to as you register to vote, is not totally unreasonable. What becomes unreasonable are attempts in some states to have multiple forms of ID or onerous requirements for securing that ID that effectively does limit the voting franchise. I had this conversation with a dear friend of mine who's absolutely perfect, except he's a Republican. And we were having this conversation a while back, and I think he understands now that not every place is like here. And in those places where these are being struck down, the clear intent is to limit the franchise rather than to make sure that the right people are voting.
You're not concerned about the dead people voting, as Gene talked about?
vote early, vote often, and by golly, if you can have a seance and have somebody, I suppose that's a problem. Those kinds of issues are not a significant and or a material factor in any election I know of. You know, if you want to start talking about political corruption, let's talk about money in politics. But that's a whole show in a different situation.
It is that, and I think we could probably get all the phone lines going all the time with that one. And, Paul, thank you for your thoughts, as always. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Our topics this week, voter ID laws and arming campus police. Our next call is Vince and Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. Well, I think I have a slightly different perspective. I was a college professor counselor for 29 years at a community college in California, and the issue came up for several years when I first worked there about having the college police wear guns. And my point always was, have they been properly trained to use the guns? And I discovered that the policemen that were hired were basically just security guards. They were dropouts from the police academy, and they were going to go through some additional training. I said, well, my God, I don't want somebody who's a dropout from the police academy carrying a gun around campus. Why don't we go to the British method, where there are guns on campus under lock and key of the supervisors in the police office? And when there's a need for someone to have a gun, when the city police couldn't make it there in a speedy manner, then the supervisor, captain, would decide who gets a gun. And that's what eventually they went with, to make sure that it wasn't just the dimmest light bulb in the package walking around all the time with a gun. And I had to interact with some of those college police over 29 years. Let me tell you, I was glad that most of them did not carry a gun. I don't think they were properly trained or experienced enough to carry a gun.
All right, so that also begs the question of who should be on your campus police force. The University of Oregon contracts with the Oregon State Police to staff its university police force. So these are people who clearly are up to the state police level snuff. But you're talking about a situation where the rent-a-cops was the impolite term used, wasn't it?
Right, in the beginning. And then they did go for additional training, and they became known as what's called a peace officer. They didn't have the same training as the proper police working for the city or the county. They're called peace officers. So are the police on campus actually trained for 2 or 3 years in police tactics and experienced, or are they just peace officers with additional training?
Mm-hmm. All good questions to ask. Thanks for that, Vince. Appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your calls and emails on the topics of arming campus police and voter ID laws. You can still join us at 800-838-3760. That number does work across the region, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. This email comes from John in Ashland. He says the verdict is out on voter ID laws. The Supreme Court just invalidated Wisconsin's egregious voter ID law last week, and the Texas law was invalidated 2 weeks ago. Voter fraud occurs on the order of 1 per 10 million. The New York Times did an excellent wrap-up on the issue last week. To sum up, there's no valid reason for the voter ID laws being proposed by Republicans other than to suppress Democratic votes. Republicans know this, of course, and any attempt to claim their proposed laws are for any other purpose is specious or ignorant at best. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. I'm glad KJPR is back on the air today.
Oh, good to be there.
I was off the air most of yesterday and part of the day before. At any rate, on voter ID, when I lived in Eugene in 1980 and wanted to vote, I hadn't registered, so it was a same-day registration in those ancient days. And so I went, changed, and I just recently moved, so I changed my address on my driver's license, went down and tried to show it to him, and they said, oh, no, you don't need to show us that. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's really interesting. But in Portland, when I lived in Portland, there was a deceased man who had lived in my apartment prior to me living in it, and he was still on the books. I kept getting things in the mail for him from the county, and I kept writing deceased on them and sending them back. And when I went in to vote one time, I said, is this name still on the books? They said, oh, yeah, right here. I said, well, when he comes in, tell him that, A, he's dead, and, B, he doesn't live in my apartment.
Wow.
And, you know, because it took, you know, finally it disappeared off the books.
Uh-huh.
But it took a long time for it to go away. Whether my landlord, who I suspect voted in his name, ever did that or not, I don't know, but that was my guess.
Right. As Ruth pointed out earlier from Mendocino, since the Help America Vote Act in 2002, 2 years after the messed up presidential election, there have been greater moves to make sure that the voter rolls are purged periodically and to take the names off there that don't belong there anymore.
Yeah, here in Shasta County, as far as I know, they do check all the signatures on the absentee ballots.
Mm-hmm. All right, which is another topic that I'll bring up in just a moment. Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, thanks. Briefly, I wish the rest of the country would notice Oregon's system because I think it works great on all kinds of levels. And the restriction of voters via ID laws is just a part of an ongoing tradition from the Republicans that disenfranchises people. They want to use government to attack democracy and to prevent people from participating. Just like when George Bush first got elected, everybody was looking at all the little dimples in the pages and the hanging chads and all that. And meanwhile, Greg Polis showed how 10,000-15,000 people were just put off the rolls because of their names. So that goes on in the background of their relentless ridicule. It's like an attacking of our own society with it. So it's very distressing. As to the campus and the police, I have an acquaintance who was bipolar and had an episode and got taken down in Arcata by the campus police there by tasers. And he had already lost most of his weight, and he was a weak guy, and they tased him twice. And there's just a tendency for people when they get weapons in their hands to go ahead and use them. And even police who have been trained to shoot properly have a very low record of shooting properly when an incident happens. So the less weapons in our society, the safer we'll be, not the averse where they imagine if everyone is armed then somehow we'll have peace. It's crazy thinking. Thanks for letting me vent.
All right. You have indeed vented, Brad. Thanks for calling the Jefferson Exchange once again. Let me finish up with this thought from information just out from University of California Davis researcher Mindy Romero, who pointed out that 1% of the mailed-in absentee ballots in California went uncounted. That was 69,000 ballots because the signatures didn't match and the clerk's offices didn't bother to alert people. There's also the issue of people sending in ballots or not sending in ballots because they think you have to vote on all the races and you don't. So the suggestion from Sacramento Bee editorial last week is to make sure that everybody gets better voter information. There will be a new Secretary of State in California with this coming election. We have a final email to read you about the topics on this Vents Day. Jay in Waterville emails, U of O has had taser use problems. They can also start making vehicle traffic stops because they now have deadly force at their disposal. In Oregon, one has to have a birth certificate to get a driver's license. So going through that stuff now, like voter ID. Thanks for that, Jay. Thanks, everybody, for Vents Day.